We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Today we are delving into a compelling and complex issue at the intersection of family dynamics, social media, and child welfare. You guessed it. Ruby Frankie and Sherry Frankie, the eldest daughter of former family vlogger Ruby Frankie, has recently published a memoir titled The House of My Mother, A Daughter's Quest for Freedom, in which she exposes the hidden abuse she and her siblings suffered behind the facade of their popular YouTube channel, Eight Passengers. This revelation has ignited a broader conversation about the ethics and psychological impacts of parents featuring their children in monetized social media content. Is this practice a harmless sharing of family moments, or does it veer into exploitation and narcissism? Moreover, in response to such concerns, new legislation is being proposed to protect minors in the digital space. To expose all of this and to discuss, we're joined by Robin Dreeke. the retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. There's a lot at question here. I know you had a chance to check out and read Sherry's book the other week. I want to start there. What were some of the big takeaways you got from this that we really haven't discussed or heard about in this case yet?
Yeah, it was a well-written book. You know, she partnered with a great writer, and it's a compelling narrative she put together. A lot of it we had seen in court and had heard about, but there's some elements that were a little more highlighted for me, I thought. And the first one was, Ruby came from a background and a life arc of, from again, as Sherry was pointing out in the book, was that constantly feeling insecure and trying to prove herself to her mother and getting in that mommy club that, you know, when you finally hit the adulting age and you're a mom, and this was her life dream to be this mom, modeling herself after her own mother, which was kind of, I wouldn't say distant, but as described by Sherry as distance and kind of off-puttish until you become a mother. Heavy-handed, heavy on discipline, not a lot of closeness. And so that was the one thing that life arc of her as a kind of a strict mother was already in place before Hildebrandt came in. The other thing that I found disappointing was the father's role, Kevin. You know, we were always wondering during this case and as this thing was maturing through the investigative process and in the media, what the hell's up with the dad?
Yeah.
You know, what was there something? We're probably not seeing something. He probably was a better dad. He's probably more present than we're seeing. Not according to Sherry, you know. And what was sad to me was, as her account in the book was, he was her hero. He was her dad. You know, she looked to him for so many things. And when he took the direction of Ruby and moved out, as Sherry put it, Ruby invited him to leave for a year to work on himself. And so he said, okay, I'll vacate and I'll leave. And you're, as according to Sherry, your lover will move into the house and take control of this cult that you're now running. So, it was a little even more disturbing from that mentality than I even knew during the trial.
I don't know how you can explain away, not you, but how Kevin can explain away this as, well, my wife said I should just take a break and not communicate, not be with the kids, not. Who does that? I mean, who says, oh, good idea, let me just abandon my family? I guess it goes into the context of you don't believe you're abandoning your family. You're doing what's best for your family because Ruby convinced you to. I mean, if Ruby, obviously she was someone who was impressionable enough to basically join a cult, it makes me wonder how impressionable he was to then stick with someone that is basically reiterating the words of the cult in their own manipulative way to him, and he's willing to follow it and literally abandon his kids. That to me, as a father, I know to you as a father, this is our life's mission, not this show, not what we do, not what we've done, but to raise good, happy, and healthy kids that can live a good and full life. That's our only mission in life. The rest is icing on the cake. How someone does that and just walks away and then has the audacity to come back and say, I was in the dark in all of this. You were willingly in the dark on all of this. It feels like he's someone who doesn't want to accept any sort of responsibility or blame for any of this. Even more so than Ruby. I mean, Ruby at least came out and said, yeah, I did this shit.
Or even the fact that he was a professor at the university that Sherry was going to and wouldn't have contact with her there at the time that all this was going on.
Yeah.
That, and so what this is it shows the power of cult.
Yeah.
He was all in on Team Ruby. Mm-hmm. You know, she targeted him in college because she wanted a handsome man that was going to father her children because that was her dream, and she targeted him for recruitment. She did a great job of recruiting him, and he was all in, hook, line, and sinker, smart guy, and he just played the role of supporting Ruby and what she wanted to do. I mean, never, you know, it's funny, you and I talk about this in cases and in life, you know, part of a great healthy relationship is having a loving critic on your other side. Mm-hmm. Loving them from the fact that they support you and everything they're doing is vested in your success. Critic from the point of someone to be objective when you're going down the crazy road. And he was loving, but not a critic of Ruby. And so he was all in on Team Ruby from day one. And so as she's crafting, because that was their family dynamic, she's crafting the world that she was creating as a family, and he just played along. So as it kept drip, drip, dripping down this road that Ruby was running, he kept playing along. And so in his mind, to your point exactly, in his mind, as described by his daughter, he was just all in on, from his perspective, from his optic, from his context, all his actions were for the benefit of his children. Him leaving was to better himself because I'm hurting my family. By me leaving, I'm going to come back a better father.
Yeah.
That's exactly the words he said. That's the words that everyone was saying. And all these people with all these broken brains, except, you know, the kids were so tragically, and also to Sherry's benefit in here, she only named one brother by name in the book, and she said the stories for her other siblings to tell if they want to in their own time. So she never even names her other siblings. This was not a gotcha memoir. This was like, this is the story of what happened.
Yeah, like here's my story. Here's what took place from my perspective. And to go down the road of Kevin a little bit more, I mean, and to see it from his perspective a little bit more. Ruby, Frankie, obviously, you know, he was not a loving critic to her, at least from what we've seen. I don't know that Ruby Frankie was ever capable of having a critic of any type in her life. She seemed to pretty much go down whatever road she wanted to go down to. And if you're married to that, it's a slow, insidious decline. And you don't even realize how slowly you can't criticize anything until you're just living a life of, I'm going to do whatever she says, because the insanity that would pursue me speaking up is not worth it. It's not worth it to the kids to have to endure that. It's not worth it for me to have to endure that. So we're just going to kind of go along with this and keep the peace. And I don't want to end the marriage or the relationship, even though I feel like I don't want to be here, because I don't want to leave my children at any point in time alone with that woman. And I don't see it out yet, but okay, I'll go away for a year. And like you said, come back a better man in the eyes of Ruby. I get that. I've been in a marriage that was very much like that, where you just eventually don't question anything and you kind of give up to a certain extent. But when your partner is like raising some crazy red flag about something that's not a big deal, but to that person's, you know, mind is, and that manic sort of brain, you then almost, you feel this fear, almost this urge of, we have to fix this no matter what. So I can kind of understand where Kevin was coming from to a certain extent, because when you're in that world, it is hard to see. Your blinders are on. It's hard to see everything else because you still think you're trying to operate in the good of the children, even if in reality you're not.
It's interesting from the way that Sherry portrayed it. I never got the sense that Kevin was doing what he was doing to keep the peace. He was all in. And that was the real difference here. And it's why it got so broken and went down that dark road so far, is because he was all in on this. This was all completely a great idea to him. And what happens is that, you know, Ruby was so addicted to control. She needed it everywhere, everywhere in every aspect of life. And then when you have Jody Hildebrand come in, who had the keys for greater control, and fed into that need of control for Ruby, she's like, oh, I found a better recipe to have even more control, and I can be the assistant queen of this empire. That's exactly what happened. And again, that drip, 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 and it just went down crazy road pretty damn far.
Yeah. In the book, because I know you have read it, I have not. I've only read bits and pieces of it. There was a point in time early on in all of this where Ruby was getting busted and Jody was going down too, where Sherry just wanted to go back to Kevin's house to get some of her stuff. And he started saying he wanted her arrested. He calls the police. You should arrest her for going in and getting her stuff. Does she talk about that incident in the book at all? Because that seemed to be like a rather crazy reaction of the father, or at least an extreme overreaction, kind of like what I was talking about earlier, where when something could bump this narrative and make you see that there's something bad going on here, people can react very defensively because it would then challenge everything that they have already experienced or the way that they've treated others. What was in the book about that?
So I don't remember a point where they threatened to arrest her for going back for something in the house. But I remember she did reach out, if I'm remembering this accurately, she reached out to her dad because she wanted to go back. The big thing was, there's a couple big things she wanted to go. First of all, Jody moved into her room, and so she had to move out. And then she had to live on the couch. And so when Jody had an emotional breakdown, and so to save her soul and battle demons together, she had to move into to her room, right? Oh, my God. And then so she had to move all her stuff out, and then she moved in. She was living in an apartment at college. And then when she decided to really battle against Ruby, Ruby then totally cut her off from all support, and in order for, and which cut off her insurance for her vehicle, her car. And she was then told that she could no longer drive her vehicle unless she had insurance. In order for her to get insurance, she had to go home and get the title. When she talked to her dad to go home and get the title, dad said, you have to make an appointment with Ruby to go back to your house and go back to the room. And so she actually did break in. She went in through the dog door at some point to go upstairs. And that when she went into the dog door and went up to her room upstairs, that's when she saw to Jody's benefit, she never told explicitly the things she saw that let her know that her and Hildebrandt had a sexual relationship. But she made a lot of insinuations on things she saw, things she read in diaries, in her room and how it looked and the things that were going on there. But she had to make appointments to see her stuff, and she had to actually barter to get her title to her car so she could get her own insurance. So there's a lot of threats. There's a lot of threats of withholding titles, of withholding support, with all the other things, and something you and I haven't covered, and we don't need to. But and they didn't cover in cortisol. She was groomed also by another guy in her life, a professor, which I mean, this girl's been through a lot. This whole family's been through a lot. But I never heard the threat of an arrest, but there was a lot of control, a lot of barring her from exposure. Her aunts did a good job coming in and helping out. Her college, her high school teacher did a great job. There were people in there. And a big thing, the big failure, actually talking about the things that struck me about this book, the massive failure of Child Protective Services out there is what really, because people were screaming about this before it ever came to light.
Yeah. Yeah, another system that, again, I was talking earlier today as we're recording this, there was just the tragic flight crash of the American Airlines, the American Eagle jet, and the Black Hawk in D.C. We're talking about the FAA off the air a little bit, and the NTSB, and just areas, you know, not funded, not remotely where they should be. Child Protective Services is certainly one of those areas. How did she leave it? Like when you finished the book, what was your take on how her, what her feelings are on her mother and her life going forward, and the dad?
She's always been a big proponent of therapy. Her mother, actually, at one point, she finally convinced her mother earlier on to put her in therapy, and her mother then canceled it on her, said she got better. She was able to get re-engaged therapy again later on through the church, and so she's able to get it. So she's in therapy. She came across as extremely self-aware. I'm not sure she calls herself the tenor of it, not necessarily forgiving, but moving forward is the best way to put it. And she wishes the best for everyone. She said that Ruby is Ruby. Tried to communicate a few times from prison and pretended, like, actually the things that she did say was Ruby, when was sentencing after she's convicted, tried to say how remorseful, how much she's so sorry, and to Jody, what she's not to Jody, to Sherry in the book, she's like, nah, looked like total BS to me.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.